So when we talk about Christmas, especially a UU Christmas, it gets complicated. Unitarian Universalism comes out of the Protestant tradition, and Christmas has been part of our history for a long, long time, but so has reason. And so miracle stories don't always sit perfectly neatly alongside of reason. And so there can be some tension there. So I'm just following Scott's cue this morning and digging up, unearthing verses of songs that we may not have ever heard. And there's some lyrics by Christopher Rabel that I found that kind of sum up at least one idea of a UU Christmas. I'm not going to really be singing this, so please don't even, jazz band, don't even think about coming in with me on this. This is more like Rex Harrison in My Fair Lady, you know, that sing-speak thing. Just pick a key at random. God rest ye Unitarians, let nothing you dismay. Remember, there's no evidence there was a Christmas day. When Christ was born is just not known, no matter what they say. Oh, tidings of reason and fact, glad tidings of reason and fact. Our current Christmas customs come from Persia and from Greece, from solstice celebrations of the ancient Middle East. This whole darn Christmas feel is just another pagan feast. Oh, tidings of reason and fact, glad tidings of reason and fact. There was no star of Bethlehem, there was no angel's song. There could not have been wise men, for the trip would take too long. The stories in the Bible are historically wrong. Oh, tidings of reason and fact, glad tidings of reason and fact. So, that is one idea of a UU Christmas, right? And it's an idea that might make us smile a little bit. But is it everything? Is it everything? So we're going to come back to that idea in just a moment. But first, I want to paint a picture for you, a picture of the United States, a place where there are grave injustices in the social system. We're talking about economic injustices, sexism, racism, ableism. The dominant narrative religiously is exclusive. It's elitist. Mainstream culture is hollow. It's lacking in vision and inspiration. Social discourse and what passes for the news lacks integrity and reason and fact. There are legitimate concerns about the state of intellectualism. There's a huge disparity between the rich and the poor, and the danger of an oligarchy is real. And there is a brash, controversial president. Now, this is a description of the United States in 1835. May sound familiar, though, right? That brash, controversial president, Andrew Jackson. Someone often compared to a president, former and future president, who shall not be named. These were the conditions in the United States about 100 years ago, and they are familiar to us today. And at that time, 100 years ago or so, the Unitarian Church was up and coming as a force for social change. So this was the time of people like Henry David Thoreau. These are Unitarian thinkers. Ralph Waldo Emerson. And Unitarianism was responding to that framework of social upheaval that I talked about. Today doesn't look that much different in some ways. We've traded the grave social injustice of slavery for a system of racial injustice, a system that puts many people of color on the school-to-prison pipeline. Immigrants, poor people, queer people, remain targets. Mainstream culture is often superficial, appealing to stereotypes and our baser instincts toward violence. What passes for the news is often just people spewing rhetoric. critical thinking, intellectual discourse are in danger of being eroded. And while we may not have Andrew Jackson in the White House, you get the idea. The worth and dignity of every person in 1835 was under attack, and this is still a very real concern for us today. So it's Christmas, though. Christmas, and I want to talk about another Christmas. I want to talk about a Christmas way back in 1835. Again, that time, almost 100 years ago. So picture this. There is a woman, and her name is Harriet Martineau. And Harriet Martineau is a Unitarian, and she's a journalist. And she has walked inside of a house, and she has stopped in her tracks. Why has she stopped there? Well, because she sees framed in the doorway this thing that she's never seen before. It's 1835, remember, here in the United States, and it is a Christmas tree in someone's living room. It is covered in decorations. It is lit. It is glittering. Now, she has come to this house as a journalist to speak to another Unitarian, a man named Charles Follen, to talk to him about abolitionism. And here he is in this house with this beautiful tree celebrating Christmas, even as he is doing the work of abolition here in the United States. And so she went home, she wrote this up as an article, talked about the children and their response to this celebration of Christmas, all within the social justice context, right? And that article in a magazine took off, and all of a sudden people were starting to put Christmas trees in their house, and they were looking at Christmas in a different way. She was helping to imbue Christmas with that sense of joyful generosity that we take for granted today. So Harriet Martineau is best remembered for her contributions to the emerging women's movement and her advocating for children to be treated with kindness. Again, this is a radical idea. Treating kids with kindness, a radical idea. Can you imagine? But, I think in our current time of the repeal of Roe versus Wade, we look at women from our own Unitarian past, and we can really celebrate how visionary they were and how they helped to shape some of the good things that are here in this country. So just 8 years after that, in 1843, Charles Dickens, as Emily talked about, wrote A Christmas Carol, another Unitarian, this time over in England, though. And he helped in that popular book to reaffirm this idea of Christmas as a time of goodwill to others. Again, it's hard for us to wrap our brains around. These were revolutionary ideas, and they were coming in large part out of Unitarian thinkers. But it doesn't stop here, of course, as Scott alluded to. We have Edmund Sears, a Unitarian minister, who wrote It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, a hymn that offered social criticism, focusing on the message of peace on earth, goodwill to all, as opposed to the miracle aspect of the story. You had another Unitarian, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, writing the hymn I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, in the midst of the long and bloody Civil War during which his son was badly injured. Louisa May Alcott wrote her Little Women, another Unitarian, and in that book it expressed the sentiment of Christmas as a time for gift-giving, a lesson for children in generosity, helping the poor. These Unitarians at that time weren't so interested in the miracle side of the story of the Christian Gospels, but they were interested in humanity acting in a miraculous way. The message at Christmas is that we are the miracle, or at least we can be. And this whole notion of Christmas that they espouse hinges on something I call practical hope. Hope that when we are in need of shelter, like Mary and Joseph, or like the many immigrants who find their way here, or the many people who are unhoused in this nation, hope that there is some place for us to stay. that there is hospitality, no matter how lowly, even if it is a stable. Hope that when a tyrannical king, like King Herod, hope that there will be people who resist in those situations. And we know that the King Herods of old still exist in our world today. Hope that when stars shine and angels sing, there are people who will hear that music, see that glow, and will follow where it leads, like the shepherds and the wise men do. And perhaps what we feel most keenly, hope that humanity can give birth to something new, something better, something that can help to show us the way, like a baby who grew up to be a radical thinker, a pioneer in the area of compassionate thought and deed. And the pieces of that miracle story, whether they are historically accurate or not, support this very real, very human theme of looking at how we treat each other. And that was desperately needed in those ancient times. It was needed in 1835, and it's needed today. So I think the problem, though, is that when we start talking about Christmas, we start talking about stars in the sky and all of that, miracle stories, hope can get so nebulous and it gets so abstract. It gets to be too much of a vague aspiration that comes when we want something different, but we don't quite know how to get there. So this Christmas, as we sit on the edge of a new year, as we sit on the edge of a new administration in this country, a new chapter in the world's history, I want us to think about choice even more than we think about hope. The choices we make, the choices others make, and what it means to be able to make choices. On this Christmas, I want to say that humanity mostly has the world it has chosen to have. I don't say this in the way of blame, for I recognize that we are collectively learning all the time, and we have created some beautiful things alongside the troubling things along the way. There have been times throughout history when humanity was likely doing the best it knew how to do, and there are times that we can point to when it was just not. Being a Unitarian Universalist is about reckoning with the truth of humanity, both the good and the bad. And this world we exist in today at Christmas, at Hanukkah time, is one that we have created collectively over time. And what that says to me at this moment is that we need to remind ourselves that we're not just passive beings simply being bandied about by the random and reckless winds of time. We have choices. Choices got us here. Choices will get us beyond here. We can choose. We can choose to hold on to practical hope this Christmas. We can be inspired by our UU ancestors and choose that hope, grounded in our power to act, how to treat one another in ways that are compassionate and caring. We can build on the work of Harriet Martineau and Charles Dickens and Charles Follen and make choices that bring hope into the world in tangible ways. This is actually within our power, no matter how small. It's something we can do. So today I'm actively inviting you to choose Christmas, because this is one of our holidays. It belongs to UUs in a way that allows us to deconstruct it a little bit, have fun with it like I did with the lyrics in the at the beginning of this sermon, even as we also honor its sacred lessons, the values that we UUs have helped infuse Christmas with over the years. Been part of our tradition from the beginning, and we've been pivotal in shaping the cultural understanding of it. And we need to remind ourselves of that, remember that, that idea of generosity of spirit and action is part of who we are. We've helped infuse this holiday with that, and we can keep doing that. We can choose Christmas. We can choose Christmas justice in the year ahead, Christmas resilience. We may need every shining star and beacon of new life we can find in the year ahead, but we can choose to look for them. This is Christmas, as it has been so many times before, and like so many times before, we still have a choice. So I hope we choose love. I hope we choose a world that does not celebrate tyrannical kings, but rather protects the vulnerable and offers them hospitality through dark nights. And I'll come back to my little opening song. I wrote a new little verse. While Christmas is complicated, the truth is plain to see. You use are called to build the world that is to be. Oh, tidings of wonder and love and reason. In fact, glad tidings of wonder and love. Merry Christmas, everybody.